here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
What is going on, KOP Nation? It is Sunday night. It's January 4th, 2026. Happy late New Year to everybody out there. We're ready to rock and roll with our first episode of the New Year. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Austin Shepherd, a.k.a. The Shep, here, present, ready to rock. Shep, how we doing? How was your New Year's?
New Year's was great, man. It was... For having a five-year-old and a four-year-old, I think it was about as eventful as it can be. The holiday season is an absolute mess for us, where everywhere, 12 days in a row, every town, county, in-law house, aunt, uncle, niece, nephew, grandma Bootsy's house, for crying out loud. We went over to Trent Mom Sue's house. I mean, you know,
busy time of year. That's what
we were everywhere, but it's over with. And now I feel like starting tomorrow, we can get back to normal life,
back into a routine, right?
Normal life. Next thing we have to look forward to is a golf trip in February. So,
ooh, where are we going? Not we, but where are you going?
We're going to Orlando to a place called Reunion.
Oh, cool.
Very nice. 3 or 4 day tournament there. So yeah.
Very cool. Go. Good stuff. But Paul, once again, could not join us tonight, but he has assured me he'll be making his KOP return next Sunday on the 11th and should be on most Sundays going forward after that. That's what he said.
Yeah. He's coming back next week. I'm out. See you.
Well, that was easy. That was easy.
Just joking, Paul. When you listen to this, we're not making fun of you, kind of.
Yeah. But yeah, we do, before we get too into the weeds here, got a big announcement, which if you follow us on social media, you've already seen it. If you're not following us on social media, what are you doing? At Kicking Out Pod, all social media platforms. We finally have a network home. It's something I've been looking for, trying to look to join the right network since Paul and I launched this in January of 2021, which is hard to believe, you know, anniversary here tonight coming up on another year to kick off, but finally found the right fit for us. And that is with the Main Event Wrestling Network. Throwing up their logo right here for everybody watching live on YouTube and on Facebook. And the main question I got this past week, since they announced it, which it was awesome when they announced it at midnight on New Year's. Perfect way to get it out there. And since we announced it, was how's this going to change, if it will change the podcast? What's it mean for the podcast going forward? Yada, yada. Well, long story short, nothing's going to change as far as the content you see right here or listen to right here every Sunday night on the Kicking Out Podcast. We're still the same hooligans with the same shenanigans, going down the same rabbit holes, talking AEW as always. But it's a way to get our product out there in front of more eyeballs, in front of more people, in particular, pro wrestling fans. So Main Event Wrestling Network has tons of great shows, tons of great content. I mean, content. They got NXT shows, WWE shows, shows that talk about a little bit of everything. So go give them a follow. Subscribe to their YouTube channel and give them a follow on Facebook, X, Blue Sky, Instagram. If they're on TikTok, go there. I don't have TikTok. We don't have TikTok, so I don't know. if they're on TikTok, they probably are. They're pretty in tune with all that. So very excited about this going forward. You'll see them share our content. We'll be sharing content of other podcasts that are a part of the network. So very, very excited. Thank you again to Kyle and everybody over at Main Event for welcoming us into the family.
That's right. You like the new tag, Main Event Shep.
Right, Main Event Shep.
Main Event Shep. Here we go.
I like it. And see right here, Main Event Wrestling Net right here on YouTube in the comments. What is up, fellas? They also said, I think our logo would look great in the top right corner of that stream. Just saying, I think we can work that out. Stephen Chambers in the chat. What's up, buddy? Happy New Year. Hope you're doing well. And Main Event, welcome to us home. Yeah, I'm pumped. This is a big opportunity for us, and it's going to be a fun 2026 for the Kicking Out podcast and for Main Event. It's going to be great. So, and we'll be joining some network live streams as well. They do mixers every now and again, which is a mix of a lot of different shows all on a live stream. So, Shep, kind of like the Two Beards end of the year show we join.
Yeah.
But it's within the Main Event family. So
that's a little different. For what I'm used to is a mixer. So the Main Event network is going to introduce me to something else, a new mixer.
Sure.
Opening my eyes in 2026.
Yes, there we go. But as far as mixer goes, are we drinking anything special tonight, or is it the same old regular?
It's the same old homemade vodka, because we don't have a sponsored vodka company. And a little flavored club soda tonight. It you know what? I just don't. I'm the older I get, the more I don't want to.
You don't want to venture out, right?
Yeah. I mean, back in the old days when we'd have different drink reviews on here, and then I'd wake up the next morning feeling like absolute ass. Like, I don't want that anymore. I want to drink like two or three of these, know that I'm gonna feel fine, and away we go.
Main Event says, "Oh, we have mixers in that capacity too. The president of the network sells alcohol for a living."
Okay, well, he can get us in touch with the right vodka company. I'm just saying. I, as long as it's not Kamchatka or Skol, I'll drink anything.
Oh, okay. We know you will, Shep. I think you and Kyle, the president of the Main Event Wrestling Network, are going to get along just fine.
As long as I don't have to use the vodka to clean the rust off my trailer hitch, I'll drink the Sunbuck. So.
See, he said Tito's, let's do it.
I'm in. American made, down in Texas. Let's go. I even get like a lighted Tito's sign. See the Corvette sign over there? There it is. Yeah. I'll take the lighted Corvette sign down and put a lighted Tito's sign up. Just saying. And Chevrolet's my life. So
see, look at that. You name it, he's got it.
Yeah, I'll stick with Tito's out of the three, but Svedka's not bad.
Yeah, we're not naming the one that Shep drinks a lot, because they never DM'd us back. They could have at least politely a year or so ago when I reached out said no, but just the ghost. Okay. All right. Well, I do have a drink tonight as well. Nothing crazy, but it's one of my regulars, the Steve Austin's Broken Skol American Lager. So I still have yet to have his brand new one he just came out with.
What did he come out with? He had an IPA first, right?
Yeah, he came out with another IPA. Oh. Yeah.
Is it named after Poncho his cat?
Poncho Macho. You know, they're two salt-ass cats. Dude,
he never thought of that.
He has merch for them now, pro wrestling tees. It's the number one selling thing of pro wrestling tees.
Of course he
does. Macho and Poncho. And Poncho. It's awesome. Awesome.
One of the meanest sons of bucks in the world. And
oh, yeah. Let's do it.
He has a cat.
Yeah, two cats and a horse and chickens. And he's so fun. He's such a fun follow on social media. Steve Austin. Whoever thought Steve Austin would be great at social media, but he's the GOAT, man. He's the GOAT. So, all right. We've went down to plenty of rabbit holes already tonight. We got a lot of AEW to talk about. But first, it is AEW related. But Shep, for everybody that listens to the pod, watches the pod, knows you love Wrestle Kingdom. You love the Tokyo Dome. So I didn't watch anything. I saw the results and everything from Wrestle Kingdom 20, which came on at 2 o'clock Eastern time this morning?
1:30. Yeah. At 1:30 this this morning I was playing craps at a casino with randoms I didn't know.
So you weren't folding laundry this year.
No, I wasn't folding laundry towels. This year. But you got to remember, it's different. It was to me, it was a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Normally, it's a Sunday night. So it's a Monday morning going into work. Here, we had a birthday party, ended up at a casino. I went to bed at 3. I was up at 5. I got maybe 2 hours of sleep and started watching some of the show. I've watched 60% of it, but I watched the two most important things, which was obviously the IWGP World Heavyweight bout, and then the retirement match of Tanahashi. With that match went 33 minutes with Okada. 33:09, I think, was the exact time. I don't know how he went 33 minutes. And now when I say he, I meant Tanahashi. Okada carried him. Okada did an amazing job. Made a unbelievable match for an unbelievable talent. And then the cameos at the end. Shibata, Omega, just really put like the sprinkles, right? The cherry on top. The best part to me was Shibata comes down. You can tell there was a lot of history there, right? You know, Tanahashi, as soon as his music hit, he was truly surprised it was Shibata, right? Shibata comes down, and instead of, you know, they give the flowers and the hugs, he gives him the flowers and then he rips his shirt off and they start chopping each other, right? I love it. They start chopping each other, then they hug. And you can tell it was a really big deal for Tanahashi and just a great ending to a great show. Something that stands out besides the main event matches, this new guy, this Aaron Wolf. Was a professional judo guy, and then obviously transitions his first match in New Japan, and he wins the open weight championship. I thought it was obviously they're really high on this kid, but that stood out besides the other stuff.
Yeah, a lot of AEW presence on the show. Of course, Takeshita lost IWGP title. Which I wasn't shocked by that, but so he lost that match, and then of course Okada defeated Tanahashi. But also after the match, you had Kenny Omega make an appearance, like you said, Shibata make an appearance, Will Ospreay make an appearance, Kota Ibushi make an appearance with Stephen Chambers. Here says Kota Ibushi was limping really bad, took him longer than Roman's entrance.
He was limping bad.
Jay White made an appearance. Good to see Jay White on TV. Haven't seen him in a while, so very cool for all those individuals to go over there and pay their respects to Tanahashi.
Yeah. I thought it was a really good fitting to the end of the show. Andrade,
not technically AEW, but I think we're going to see him pretty soon.
Yeah. So in the United Empire, there's in their match with the War Dogs. So
Tekla
was there. Yeah. Tekla was there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's going to be interesting. You know, the War Dogs are all free agents. They're going to explore their options. So maybe some, if not all, become all elite. I don't know.
It'd be a good fit.
Yeah. Yeah. Could be. Except it is interesting, you know, in all the forbidden doors and everything. And somebody can correct me in the comments if I'm wrong. I could be, because they all kind of run together after a while. I don't think Tony Khan's ever really used David Finlay. Which tells me he doesn't really like David Finlay for some reason.
I believe you're correct, but it's got to be because of his father and his connection to Connecticut.
Could be.
I think David Finlay's a great talent and very,
I do
very,
too.
Very, very enjoyable to watch. So I always feel like if David Finlay's going to leave New Japan, there's only one place for him to go. Yep.
And Too Sweet Kyle, who is the president of the Main Event Wrestling Network, he says, shit, if the G1 is coming here, talking as of Chicago, I may have to go. Yeah, I was surprised. Did you see that announcement? Shep, the Now Arena. The G1's coming to the Now Arena.
The opening, is it opening round, I think, is what they said?
I just saw that they said it was coming. I didn't see any specifics.
I think it's the whole opening round is going to be in Chicago.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty good stuff. Got a comment here I wanted to get in to. This is from a loyal viewer, and I'm going to apologize. I gave him a shout-out last time. We were you, me, and when Plugga was on for the World's End Predictions, and it's at KWYJIBO_ on YouTube. I said he was from Turkey. He's from Hungary. He corrected me on YouTube. So he's a loyal viewer of ours from Hungary, watches every week. He said, just a question in advance. Who was the best and worst AW signing in 2025? And who was the biggest loss who left the company?
Oh, man. I think it's a great question. I would say right now, and I think they left before 2025. In fact, I know they left in 24. And that doesn't answer his question because it's not 25, but I think the biggest miss right now is with the Hardys. And I know a little bit that was self-inflicted of the Hardys.
Yeah, I was going to say Jeff did it to themselves. I mean,
themselves, but they're thriving now, which is awesome to see. So I don't know. There wasn't a lot of new impact players in 2025.
No, there was. There was a lot of good signings, though. I think right off the top of my head, Speedball and Kevin Knight, two really good signings.
Yeah, it was early in the year. You're right.
Teclo is a good one on the women's division. As far as worst signings, nobody really jumps out as a worst signing. Like, I can't think of anybody who they signed and came right in. Majin, Megan Bain, she's a good one. As far as like the second part of his question, who the biggest loss? I think I'm going to go Ricky Starks as the biggest loss. Ricky Saints, I should say now. He did a lot of really good things in AW, but I think they kind of dropped the ball with him. And I think there's a lot of that as backstage happenings that maybe we don't know about that caused him not to be used the last portion of his contract. But, you know, he's done really good things in NXT. He's been a multi-time champ in NXT. I could have said Mariah May or now
Blake Monroe.
I always forget her name because I don't like it. But they tried to get her back, and she just didn't. You know, she wanted to pursue other things. And how the closing there at Revolution with her and Tony was pretty fitting. So I guess I'd go Ricky Starks, Stephen Chambers, and Ethan Page. Another one. Yeah, they definitely dropped the ball with Ethan Page.
Yeah, I think the Ricky Starks was he was so close to Cody.
Yeah,
when Cody left, I think he was out on an island and he had no friends. So,
yep. And one they're probably going to lose. Well, we know they're losing Jericho. I mean, that's just a matter of time before he pops up into the WWE.
But I don't think that's not a big loss, though.
No, I don't. At this point, it's not. They've done everything they can do with Jericho. How about Danhausen, though? Because it sounds like WWE's got interest in Danhausen. His contract's coming up soon. Do you think that's a big loss with the way AW didn't really utilize him as far as in ring? I mean, they utilized him a lot with merch and in marketing, but nothing really outside of that.
He was injury prone though, wasn't he?
He did get injured one time, but besides that, I mean, I think he's just been sitting at home doing nothing for a long time. Remember they brought him back randomly at ROH? Everybody's like, oh, they're finally going to use him. And then they didn't use him after that.
I don't see where they would use him in WWE or NXT.
Yeah, maybe NXT, I guess. I guess with a corporation of AAA, he could do something with Mr. Iguana, probably. I don't know. He'd sell a lot of merch, I'm sure.
He would, with that
merch machine behind him. He was hurt twice long term, so that's probably why they tacked on injury time on his contract, probably. So, yeah, but no, AEW was a little quieter as far as signings in 2025, and I don't think that was a bad thing. I think they're getting more selective with their signings, not just signing anybody available like they were at one time. That anybody available that's been released from the WWE, I should say.
Which I understand when you start a new company, you're going to be sign happy.
Sure.
Especially when you have a pretty healthy, you know, pocketbook. So yeah, you're gonna see all these people getting released, sign. And not all of them are gonna, but I mean, good example is Cardona. I think Cardona made one or two appearances in AEW television.
And a he'll couple tell different you, times, yeah.
Yeah, and he'll tell you it wasn't the right fit for him. He went right back down to the indie. So, you know, it's not right for everybody. And now look at Cardona now.
He's officially back with the WWE, right. Full-time member of SmackDown. And it's, I believe they announced tonight, like, is the last time you can get it, the Matt Cardona merchandise on his website. It's going to be on sale tonight. Then it's gone, it's done, because he can't do that anymore. So I guess that is the one downside for him, is he can't do conventions, expos. I don't know what that means for the future of his podcast, major podcast and all that. I don't know. He's so business savvy, though. I'm guessing he worked something out to keep a few things going, or he wouldn't have gone all the way back.
Yeah, I saw last night he did a vignette. He dropped the ACW title.
Yes. Yep.
And Santana at the show, you know, made a comment about him. I'm not being there. So yeah, he's starting to obviously pull off his appearances.
Yep. And Squared Circle Expo, which is in Indianapolis come March, they made an announcement last night that he's not going to be there now. So like he was last year and previous years, but hey, good for Matt though. His indie run from 2020 through 2025 will be studied by many in the future.
Legendary for sure.
Yep. AEW wise, some big happenings this week. The biggest, in my opinion, was the main event on Dynamite Wednesday night on New Year's Eve, on New Year's Smash, which saw Willow Nightingale become a two-time TBS champion, the first woman in company history to hold two belts at once, since she's a tag team title holder and now TBS title holder. And she dethroned Mercedes Moné. So Mercedes loses yet another belt. We're seeing her decline. And I love the storytelling. I thought Athena was going to be the woman to take the TBS title off of Mercedes, but they pulled the trigger on Willow. Just what you've been pushing for, Shep, was Willow just needs that extra little push. And I think she's getting it heading to 2026.
She is. She's already over with the crowd.
Oh, big time.
When her music hits, crowd does pop for her. She has the charisma. She has the smile. Yeah, she's got it, and she's very, very good in the ring. She's very athletic. So I think she's the right person to hold this mid-card title and could elevate it and could elevate her. It's sure. Best for both worlds. Now, it's perfect because all this is going to do is get Mercedes ready for a title run of her own, world title run of her own. Still a little confused. Like, I've always wanted it to be Willow. Still a little confused at what they're going to do with her her feud with Athena. I don't know. I don't know what they're
doing. You mean Mercedes? Mercedes
feud with Athena. Yeah.
I
don't know what, you know, she's still the ROH champion.
Yeah.
That belt doesn't mean, it sounds awful. No offense to Athena. That belt doesn't mean shit to Mercedes. So don't know how they're going to incorporate that, but it's the right move. Start of 2026, and let's main event Mercedes and get her into that world title picture for sure.
I was way off. Like I said, I thought Athena would take the title off of Mercedes. I thought there was going to be a title versus title match, ROH title, TBS title, all on the line in one match, but that was not the direction we went. So, couple comments here. Majin, I have mixed emotions. Willow winning, yay, but that means Mercedes is going to go after Stat Daddy now.
Well, yeah.
Yep. I think they'll save it for Revolution, though, in March. I don't think you'll see it on a Dynamite or Collision.
It should be a slow build. I mean, we know how Tony likes to pull his quick feuds, right? But I think this one deserves a 60-day, 45-day build for sure.
Stephen Chambers, wonder if they're setting up Harley heel turn whenever losing tag team titles, why Willow has TBS title.
I don't know.
You got to think one of those two probably goes heel eventually, but man, they're both over with the crowd. So
yeah, I think if any one of those go heel, I think it's got to be Harley though.
Yeah.
She's got the charisma to go heel, no problem.
Yeah. And she was heel when they introduced her, first introduced her to the company. But she's really found her footing as a face. I'm also intrigued what feuds they're going to have as a tag team here going forward. Willow and Harley. That was a big thing on Dynamite. Some other stuff we saw Ricochet successfully defend his national championship over Jungle Jack Perry, in which we saw Luchasaurus being taken out, being put on the shelf for a while as the Demand ripped up his shoulder, hit him with some chair shots on the barricade there. Luchasaurus is for real injured and he's gonna have to take some time off with the shoulder. Sean Ross Sapp of FIFO reported, not sure if he needs surgery or not, but sucks for the big guy, you know, another guy who just can't stay healthy.
Yeah. I mean, the last one was, he was hurt, but then he also had some serious
died
health issues.
Yeah, he got very sick.
So I mean, don't want to see him get hurt, but if it's just a beat up shoulder where he needs some new ligaments or rotator cuff or something, that's a lot better than what it was. So so hopefully it's a quick recovery for him. Leaves Jack Perry in the weeds again.
Okay. Which I think he's okay now.
Yeah, I think he proved that he can be a singles star when he was messing around with the Elite and all that stuff. But it was always coming back to Luchasaurus. So hopefully there's something in the works for him because he's too good to just to push to the back of the shelf. So
Modern says AEW's best signing of the year, Ricochet. Their worst, Andrade, just because of all the shit around him. I think Ricochet was actually 2024 signing, but he had a heck of a first full year in the company.
And did they technically sign Andrade?
I honestly don't. I mean, he is not right now on the roster. I think he's going to be soon. But, I mean, he showed up with all intentions of being signed to the roster that night in October. And then
we never saw him again.
No, because they had to figure all this crap out. So, but now that he's popping up in other promotions, including New Japan this morning, he'll be coming back. But in the meantime, it looks like they're shifting Kenny Omega in a different direction before they revisit that angle with him and Andrade, because on Wednesday night, when MJF revealed the Triple B and was taking shots at a lot of different talent, Kenny Omega appeared on the Jumbotron and seemingly told MJF he's coming after him.
That's a feud I can get behind.
Yeah. We've seen it before, but it's been a long time.
It was back in the early days. I would love to see. And I think if you go back to the early days, it was a heel Omega and a face MJF, and now we're going to have the opposite.
Yeah, and I mean, do I necessarily think Kenny will win it? No, but I love seeing Kenny pursue the title, you know, one more time.
They need something to fill MGF's time before Swerve and Hangman.
Yeah, and that's one thing. And we haven't even had I did a solo quick recap on World's End, but we haven't had a pod with multiple members of KOP since World's End ended. MJF became the new title holder, as did I, for the KOP predictions title. Just saying, don't have it physically yet.
Where's it at?
Still in Pluggo's house.
Oh boy.
Yep. So I'll get it. I like MJF being the world champion right now as a heel, because now, unlike his first run with the title, when he was kind of more of a face or a tweener with his partnership with Adam Cole, now he's full on heel. And AEW has established more baby faces to pursue the title, whether it's Swerve, Hangman, Ospreay when he's healthy, Omega, maybe Moxley, if which we thought we got a face turn at World's End from Mox. Now I'm not so sure after what we saw this week on Dynamite and Collision from him and the Death Riders.
Yeah, I'm completely lost to where that's going. I thought we were going to get the demise of the Death Riders.
I did too.
An overthrow, kick Mox out, Claudio take over, but I'm as lost as ever when it comes to the Death Riders right now.
I kept waiting for them to turn on him at World's End when he was making that speech. They never did. And then now you see them still coming out as a group and like, I don't know. Like, I don't know where we're going. We do know that Wednesday night coming up on Dynamite, he's going to defend his Continental Championship against Shelton Benjamin, which will be a fun match.
Yeah. Did we ever get that match in WWE?
I don't think we did.
We
did. It was a memorable.
Yeah. Shelton might have been already gone and then before he came back.
That's still one thing I'm pissed about is this how they handled the unified title at World's End. So now there's no unified title. We have a continental champion and an international champion again. So why the hell do we unify in the first place back at All In? Just makes no sense to me whatsoever. So someday down the line when somebody has both titles, here it comes again back in the fold. Just dumb. Just dumb in my opinion.
That's like us putting a title on Paul just to make him feel good.
Exactly. Exactly. And like they sell the title on shopaw.com. Don't sell the other two. It's just really head scratching to me. Like, what was all that for? But I digress. Stephen Chambers is MJF versus Mox. Perfect for Death Riders turn on Mox. Okay. A lot of history there. Yeah. Majin, they even have other heels turning their eyes on MJF. Ricochet, Kyle Fletcher.
Yeah, I'm excited for the Kyle Fletcher push because I think you're going to get the next 6 months going to be a really, really heavy Kyle Fletcher push.
Well, and we're going to still get a lot of tension within the Kyle's family between him, Takeshita, and Okada.
Yeah.
And now that Takeshita's not the IWGP world champ, he's going to go after Okada's international championship, I think. So, Stephen Chambers said Bandido versus Sammy Guevara for the ROH title on Dynamite. Predict new champion Sammy. I think it'll be a good match, but I'm going with Bandido there. I don't think Sammy's the right guy right now.
Sammy's not out of the doghouse yet.
He's ROH tag team champion right now, but.
Well, yeah, but.
Champ, maybe. I don't know which one he is.
We haven't seen him on Dynamite and Collision very, very.
Yeah, he popped up on Collision last night just to have a face-to-face with Bandido.
Yeah.
I thought Dynamite was pretty good. I think those were the big takeaways. For me, Collision last night, we saw the debut of El Clone, the in-ring debut, finally, of El Clone. That's how they kicked off the show, and he won. I mean, no, against in Helico, which was no surprise there. That poor guy, they had the storyline ready for him and Hologram. Now, Hologram's hurt for a long, long time. Don't know when he's going to be back. So good on Tony Khan, though, saying, we're going to put this guy on TV, though. We're not waiting any longer. But it's interesting, like last night, you know, one guy that he's not winning a lot, but he's sure getting a lot of TV time is Josh Alexander. He kind of felt like the leader of the Callis family last night since Okada, Takeshita, and Fletcher weren't there. He was kind of directing the boys backstage of Archer and a couple others in a beatdown of a lot of jobbers backstage. So,
I mean, hey, you know, at one time Alexander was the leader of TNA. He was the guy that everybody got behind and so, you know, to take a guy like that and try to find a spot for him has got to be kind of tough because right now he's not in the main event picture. He's really not in any mid card title picture. So, you got to try to keep a guy like him relevant, though.
Right.
You know, you don't want a guy that literally was the world champion and carried a company on his back for 6 or 7 months, and it was a big deal. You know, you don't want him to fall to the side and you know, get lost in the weeds.
Right, which is easy to do, especially in a faction as big as the Don Callis family is, which a match coming up on this upcoming week's Collision will be Mark Briscoe defending his TNT title against Hechicero. I mean, let's be honest, Briscoe's not going to lose that.
No.
But it's good to have Hechicero on there. I'm kind of bouncing.
He's put a lot of good matches on TV.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. I'm kind of bouncing around all over the place. But one thing I liked last night at Collision was we got a progression in Marina Shafir and Toni Storm's rivalry, to which we're going to see them in a singles match coming up on Dynamite this week. That'll be fun.
That'll be fun. That's something to get Toni, you know, get Toni out of the main event picture for a little bit.
Yes. Yes.
To get some fresh blood up top there.
Yep.
Excuse me, but you don't want to, you know, you don't want to lose her, obviously. So you got to find something for her, and this is really good.
What do you think of AEW leaning into more mixed matches? And with mixed matches, I mean male and female combined matches that we're starting to see.
I think it's good.
Intergender. That's what I meant.
I think it's good. I mean, I remember pre-COVID, WWE had a tournament where they would pair. They paired, you know, a male and a female together and had a mixed tag. But
they couldn't, if a female's in the ring, a female had to be in the ring. Like correct. It wasn't, they couldn't. Yeah.
Correct. But I mean, you got a team of, I remember Braun Strowman and
Alexa Bliss
that just won the crowd over.
Oh yeah. You know,
he made a comment about her biscuit butt and it just took off. I'm sure that
she's like sit up on his shoulders. Yeah.
They sold a shit ton of merch over it. And so it was a fun, you know, lasted for 2 months or whatever.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, they haven't really dove into it, but with the Death Riders versus a conglomeration, you know, Shafir's married to Strong.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they've been on opposite sides already.
Mm-hmm.
So you can almost kind of start to tie into that a little bit.
They're starting to. He gave her backbreaker the other night.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Yeah. Claudio gave Toni the big swing at World's End. Yeah. 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 But then Toni got him back the other night with a few moves. So, yeah, I like it. I know there's some of the IWC hates it. They hate seeing women taking bumps from the men. But as long as it's done safely, like anything, I think it's all entertainment.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's been done for years on the indies. Ton of indies do, intergender matches all over the place.
Catching up on some comments here, Majin. Man, Beast Mortos deserves so much more than just being the MVJ. His match with Bandido this past week was fire. Yeah, Mortos can go, man.
He is, yeah.
Majin also said, I didn't expect Roddy Strong to break his wife's back, though. But then again, I probably should have. And he says he blew her back out on live TV.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Yeah, Toni tried to give Claudio the big swing. Didn't go so well.
It didn't work very well.
And thank you. MVJ's most valuable jobber. I like that. I like that term. Yep. So
I sent you of the Acclaimed? Toni trying to make those guys get along together in New York. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was fun. I like they started to get along and then nope, he's not my partner. And nope, this isn't going to work. Yeah.
Obviously, either we're going to get those guys back.
Yes. Either. Yes. Yes. But I like how they're going about it. They didn't just throw them back together because, you know, I think they wanted to go that direction. The crowd wasn't about it. So now we're getting this slow build to getting them back together. I think it's going to pay off pretty big time.
Yeah, and they'd be a good addition to the tag team division right now too. So
sure, and you know what, tag team's starting to get a push, and I love it's the Grizzled Young Vets.
Yeah,
finally, because they're going to be going against Ortiz. Who great to see him back. He returned to World's End. Ortiz and Eddie are going to have a feud with the Grizzled Young Vets, so that's going to be fun.
Well, anytime you put Eddie in something, and then all of a sudden you bring a close personal friend like Ortiz to him. I know, you know, don't know what ever happened between Ortiz and Santana, but we got one of them back. That's all that matters. And you pair him with
Santana's having a
he's having a run
right now. So, yep. Yeah, Eddie was great last night on Collision. I mean, you could tell Shivani loves the guy. They were ribbing each other. And Eddie's like, man, I've quit this company 8 times since I returned. Ask Shivani. He knows. Shivani's like, yeah. Because now with Ortiz back, he's the one calming me down all the time. And it was somebody's birthday in the crowd, so they got a happy birthday chant going. They noticed it was a little 8-year-old boy's birthday. His dad had a sign. He's like, hey, buddy, happy birthday. You're 8? He goes, enjoy it. Everything after 8, it's all downhill from there. I'm like, Eddie's just the best. He's the best with the crowd. He's so good. He's good.
Well, he's just so real.
Yeah, he is. He is.
It's so natural to him. He's just real.
And I'm glad we're like, at first I'm like, you know, he came back and I'm like, okay, I still want to see him against Hook, which we haven't got that. But I'm like, what do you do with him? Because you can't really put him in the title picture right now. So I'm glad we're going to see him, because I thought I was going to enjoy the tag team run with him and Hook. We didn't even get that very long. So I'm glad we're getting a fresh pairing with him and somebody like Ortiz, who's been a tag team specialist in the past.
Sure.
I think it can go really well.
That, and they got history together. So,
and he was getting mad at Tony not holding the mic up. Yeah. He's like, Flair used to be pissed at you. Ole Anderson probably talked to you backstage back in the day. Oh yeah. It was good. You always got to know you got to get some old school wrestling references from Eddie Kingston. Maj has comment here. Tag team division, main event division, women's division, all at highs right now. 2025 was a great year for AEW.
He's not wrong. And I don't ever agree with Maj either.
No, you don't.
I don't. But I think the last quarter of 2025 really, really AEW caught their stride. And there's a lot of good things going right now and a lot of great storylines. And it's starting to hit on all cylinders. Now, it also helps that I think WWE is a little stagnant right now.
A little stagnant right now. I agree. They got some good stuff, but overall, they do.
Well, right now, the best thing they got is giving the microphone to Bron Breakker.
Yeah.
That's the best thing they got going right now.
Not to diverse real quick, but do you think he wins the title tomorrow night on Netflix over Punk?
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. Yep. So, Majin here. Santana wanted to keep getting better and getting more bookings, being treated better, et cetera. Ortiz was just happy to have a job, was content with where they were. Yeah, that's right. Santana has spoke on that. And, hey, to each their own. And yeah. Santana bet on himself, and he bet correctly so far. Majin said, Braun is the best promo in his whole family, with a laughing emoji.
I don't know. I don't know. Big Papa Pump had some great ones in DNA.
He did.
You know,
Steiner math, baby. Steiner math.
9 days a week, baby.
Steve Chambers, any predictions where EC3 will go after leaving NWA?
I don't know if there's a spot for him anywhere.
Independence for a while.
Yeah.
I've never been a huge EC3 fan, so I'm probably the wrong guy to ask.
Yeah, I've never really cared for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe back to TNA? Maybe? I don't know, though.
No. I mean, it was always the big thing because he was Dixie Carter's nephew or something, right?
Right. Majin, does anybody really care about EC3 anymore? No. You remember him and Strowman during COVID, or they were trying to
have their own promotion.
Watch that promotion. I always forget what the hell it was called. I know somebody's going to point out in the comments, but it went nowhere. Yeah,
it was. Well, there's no super kicks allowed. Had a bunch of. There was you weren't allowed to do.
Killer Cross was going to be part of it.
Yeah, they had some funky, like no chair shots, no super kicks, or no slap in the leg or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Mod said NWA has a woman I'd like to see them bring in, but that's about it.
You know,
control your narrative. Thank you, Mod. Control your narrative.
Yep.
Yes.
And I think that's one thing that, you know, I thought we got a couple really good talents right away off of NWA when NWA started doing their their show. You know, obviously Eddie Kingston was one of them.
Ricky Starks.
Camille
on the women's side, which they dropped the ball with completely.
Don't even know where she's at.
No.
But yeah, I feel like NWA is just really.
I could care less. I don't like Billy Corgan, though, so.
Wait, you don't like him because he's a Cubs fan, probably.
Oh, I could care less, but his music's whatever. I mean, I saw the Smashing Pumpkins live 2 years ago when they played with them and Rancid played with Green Day. Heck of a concert. I just think he's a terrible wrestling booker and promoter. That's where my disdain. I thought he was awful with it when he's with TNA. So
yeah, I mean, I would think there's three or four indie companies out there that would wipe the mat with NWA.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and Steven and Majin both said they wish AEW would get Natalie Markova out of NWA. I have heard that name. I don't follow NWA very closely, but I have heard that name for sure. But yeah, let's see. Majin says, I know a ton of people hate her, but I wouldn't mind seeing the Hex in AEW. The tag team.
That must be an NWA tag team.
Yeah, I'm not familiar. So
yeah.
I can't say Max the Impaler.
Yeah, I've
heard that name.
I've seen Max.
Yep. There's so much talent out there in the world of professional wrestling. It's insane. It's insane. Yeah, let me see the rest of the card for Dynamite and Collision. Let's see if I'm missing anything this week. Of course, it helps if I type the right thing here. Oh, yeah. Hangman and Swerve versus Hook and Powerhouse in a Lights Out match.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna see them together a lot before their feud, you know.
Yes. Yeah, they're going to feud again, right? They're going to feud again, right, in this year sometime?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it comes down to one of them. I think they both go after MJF. And then they get in a fight because they're both going after MJF. And then we're going to have a match on a pay-per-view that, you know, obviously the winner gets the title shot type of deal. You know, make MJF the special guest referee or something. I don't know. You can incorporate him somehow, but yeah. That's going to go at least 6 months this year. It has to.
Am I crazy for wanting a tag team title run from Swerve and Hangman? Like, I like it back in 2020 before the pandemic when they put the tag team titles on Omega and Hangman. Like, I like when even if it's a makeshift team, when big stars get a little run together and do something a little different, because you can't always be involved in the main event picture.
Yeah. You know, they just did that with Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair.
Yeah.
Okay. And it worked out tremendously. They sold a shit ton of merch and they did their backstage vignettes and backstage social media and it went over well. So there's a place for it.
Yeah. Modern said Hook can go for the TNT title or something. Not in the main event scene, but at least going for a title. Yeah, it's time to get him involved in something. Or get the trio straps off the ops. They've had it since April.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't even mind Powerhouse going after a title.
I think I've predicted the last two times when the Trios titles were on a pay-per-view. I think I predicted them to be taken off, and it's obviously come back to bite me because they win, but it's time for those belts to move.
Yeah, they don't use those belts the right way.
They don't. Like they're a filler. Let's be honest. When he needs 20 minutes to fill, hey, look, I got Trios champions.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah. You know.
Going back, I saw Steven made a comment earlier that Mox and Shelton Benjamin's going to be a good match. I'm glad they're keeping Shelton in the mix while Bobby's hurt. Yeah. I was afraid that Shelton and MVP kind of slide to the back and we'd forget about the syndicate. I'm glad they're going to keep going with Shelton and singles matches. I think that was important.
Well, that, hey, Shelton's no spring chicken.
Oh, God,
no. If you're going to get.
No, he doesn't age.
I know. I know he looks like he's ripped out of this world.
Yes.
But,
yes.
I mean, the guy is still, you know, pushing the end of his career. So if you got him signed, you might as well get all you can out of him right now.
Yeah. Yep. Stephen Chambers said he'd rather the Death Riders have the trio titles back than Ops having them. See, that says a lot.
Yeah.
And Maja said it's kind of hard to use the trio titles often when there aren't that many trios to begin with. Well, and that's where, like, I think they should have one set of trios titles between ROH and AEW, and they can be defended wherever. That's what they should have done. And correct me if I'm wrong, they did it for a little bit and then stopped.
They did
when the Bang Bang Gang had it.
They did it for a little bit, and then all of a sudden you had Dustin and the Von Erichs.
Yep.
Signed to ROH, and they needed something, so all of a sudden we have ROH Trios title.
Yeah. I mean, hell.
Well, ROH had the Trios title first. I mean, they've always had a Trios title.
Right.
So that, you know, to me, that should have been the belt defended on ROH and Dynamite. You don't need an AEW Trios title when
Too many titles. And like, hell, like we were talking earlier about Josh Alexander. Why couldn't you have him, Archer, and another member of the Callis family be trios? That way they're getting TV time consistently.
Sure. Champ. Sure.
You know, but what do I know? What do I know? I'm just sitting here talking to a microphone every Sunday night.
Yeah. At least somebody likes you.
Yeah, somebody.
Yeah, appreciate your wife. Your wife. Oh, I wasn't talking about me.
I mean, occasionally she likes me, depending on the day. Shane Taylor Promotions has ROH Trios title. See, Steven, I couldn't even told you that.
Yeah.
Right now, that's
good. Well, because I think didn't Dustin get hurt? So him and the Von Erichs had to drop the belts. So.
Well, and then didn't Guevara and Roosh and LFI have them for a little while? Or am I thinking of the tag titles? See, I don't follow ROH enough to even know what's happening with their titles thing. Majin, do you think Roddy Strong would go to the Death Riders eventually and be with his wife? He'd be a good fit the way he wrestles.
He would be a good fit. Plus, I love that he's an outsider in the conglomeration. You know, always refuses to smile and mm-hmm. do all their shenanigans. And so, yeah, it'd be a good fit.
You know, I didn't like the conglomeration at first, but it gets all those members TV time consistently, especially like Orange Cassidy, like another talent that can't always be in the main event or even in the mid-card title picture. Kyle O'Reilly's on the shelf right now for a little bit, which too bad he finally was getting momentum going in AEW, then gets hurt. And Steven said, really wouldn't mind Roderick versus Kyle O'Reilly. Yeah, I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I did see where Adam Cole said he made an announcement not too long ago saying that he's hoping to see everybody soon in 2026. I still would be shocked if he makes returns at a ring, but I'd love Adam Cole to be back on AEW TV in some capacity.
Yeah, it's been what, over a year?
No, he was TNT champ heading into All In. Remember, he came out and he wanted to retire, but they talked him out of it, and he dropped the title, and then Dustin won it when we all thought Kyle Fletcher was going to win.
Yeah, right.
So it was last time we saw him actively wrestling was July. Just feels like a year.
We haven't seen him on TV since.
No, just that one appearance on screen. Steven says, referee Adam Cole. And Bond said, how can you not like the conglomeration? Mark Briscoe is worth the price. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing there.
I think I know what he's doing. It's a Mark Briscoe thing. So
Okay. No, Briscoe's entertaining, like I've always said. I just wanted him to take some time off, but he's TNT champ. He's not going to take time off. So.
No. I think Briscoe's going to be – I think you're going to get that belt off of him, you're going to have to develop a really young star. And there's a couple guys out there. But it's going to be somebody really young and up-and-comer. And Briscoe will then –
Word of the day. His word of the day segments are good, I will say. Yeah. And I know I'm bouncing around everywhere, but this guy popped up on my other monitor here. You know who might have had the worst 2025 in AEW?
Big Stoke?
Yeah, he got no hose, so he could say Big Stoke. Yeah. Double J, Jeff Jarrett. Remember when we kicked off 2025 and I signed one more contract 1 year. I'm going to get gold. He's going to have that feud with MJF, and it wasn't going over well, and they just completely dropped it. We never saw him wrestle another match the rest of the year.
Is his contract done? End of the year, he's done?
No. He's still under contract, but I don't know as far as like a talent. He's on those 0 hour shows with RJ City and Renee. Does a good job of that, but we haven't seen him in the ring. And I like Double J. Like, I just something. And Conrad's been asking him about it a lot lately on this My World podcast. And he kind of says, just like, he won't say what happened. He says, stuff changes, it happens. So something happened backstage.
Sure.
Either Max wasn't happy with how it was going, Tony wasn't happy. So, but it's just weird to me how they never revisited like him and Max's feud, or at least him trying to go after any certain belt. I don't know. Very odd.
Well, it was very odd that he just disappeared one day and never be heard from again.
Wardlow did have a bad 2025. Guy can't stay healthy. Stephen Chambers said Keith Lee, which when the heck's that guy coming back?
Actually,
Majin said Keith Lee has an amazingly hot wife. He can't have a bad year because of that.
That's true, too. a guy that had a awful 2025, and we applaud it, is Brian Cage.
You are hard on Brian Cage. It's Wolverine.
Hey, you know what? You know where he needs to go to the NWA. Him and Corgan are meant for
each other. Wasn't he in the NWA or no? No, he was a TNA. Mm-hmm. TNA. He was TNA champ. Yeah, he won one in the NWA. But.
When he was the one that when TNA put the belt on him in a show in a very small venue, he was the one where Austin Aries put him over and then just rolled out of the ring and no-sold everything, right? Wasn't it Austin Aries that did that to Cage?
He did it to somebody, but I didn't think it was Cage.
I thought it was Cage, but literally took
Austin Aries is a douchebag.
Yeah, literally took the pin and then just rolled out of the ring, no-sold everything and, you know, ruined the moment. But I'm pretty sure that was to Brian Cage.
I am not a fan of Austin Aries at all. At all. But, no, I think 2026 is going to be a heck of a year for AEW. I'm pumped about it. We got Maximum Carnage coming up, not this upcoming week, but the next. MJF versus Bandito for the AEW World title. We got Grand Slam in Australia in February. We got a lot. Like, this is the gap where we get no pay-per-views till March.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of big Dynamites and Collisions coming up.
Which that's one thing I really appreciate AEW does is they'll throw a big Dynamite at you every once in a while.
Yeah, sure.
And make it feel like a pay-per-view the way they promote it.
Well, I mean, this week in pro wrestling, the landscape, I mean, Raw tomorrow night, you get Punk versus Breaker for the world title. Dynamite, we're getting some really big matches. And then Friday Night SmackDown, we're getting a rare Three Stages of Hell match between Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre. I mean, Three Stages of Hell, there hasn't been one since 2013. And there's only been like four or five ever in the existence of the company. So pretty good week.
Yeah.
Looks like it's going to be. A few comments here. Majin with a good question. Brody King got to turn on Bandito soon. That's the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah, I think you got to. You got to move those two on. And I think Brody King's got to become a bigger singles guy out of it.
And speaking of Brody, his former tag team partner, maybe still current, but the dude's been on the shelf since February at Grand Slam. Stephen Chambers said Buddy Matthews, another one who had a bad year. Yeah, just getting off the turnbuckle, bust his ankle at Grand Slam. And
he still snuggles with mommy every night, though. So
yeah, he's still a winner, isn't he?
Yeah.
Hard to have a bad year. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Majin, I used to be a fan of A-Double, but then he showed how much of an ass he is. Yeah, 100%. Dude is an ass. Yeah. That's putting it politely, probably.
Yeah, you know, you've always been a politically correct kind of guy. Just like me.
Yep. Just like you. Anything else, Shep, you want to cover tonight, talk about tonight?
No, I think we had a good kickoff to the new year in professional wrestling. Yes. We're going to have a great week of professional wrestling, and I'm just looking forward to it. Excited to be part of the Main Event Wrestling Network.
Yes, absolutely.
That's going to be fun. Excited about, you know, collabing with some new characters that we haven't met before. And hopefully they don't, you know, hit the kick your ass out of the podcast room button on me. But, you know.
Well, I mean, I haven't.
Yeah, it's been a couple
of years, so.
I know back in the day, the two beards were, we're ready to do that to old Shep, but that's okay.
They've
come around, and maybe I matured just a tad bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine, don't forget AEW is doing a Texas residency. That's right. That's right. They're doing their residency again down there at the eSports something or other.
They did it last year or the year before, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. They've ran a lot of collisions in that building.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good small venue, you know, they can fill it. So I'll be interested to see how ticket sales go in 2026 for AEW because they went better in 2025 than they did in 24. So let's keep seeing if that they keep going on a good trajectory there. And Steven says AEW loves Dallas.
As long as they keep the prices where it is, and they don't price themselves out of the market like another company has. Yeah.
Yep. Real quick as we wrap up, Imaj is counting down the days till Dynamite in Winnipeg. I bet, as you should be. Stephen Chambers says, what do you guys think of the NFL playoffs coming up next week? I think it's wide open. As wide open as we've seen it many, many years on both sides, the NFC side and the AFC side. And that's coming from a guy whose team's number one seed in the AFC, but I can't say I'm overly confident. I'm glad they get a week of rest and a week of preparation, but it's going to be a tough road no matter what. I think it is wide open.
I think the best AFC game next week will be the Bills and
Jags. Yeah, Bills are a scary six seed because of number 17, Josh Allen.
Yeah, they are.
It wouldn't shock me to see the Chargers upset New England on the road. It wouldn't shock me.
God, JBJ's cussing you right now.
I know he is. And then whoever wins the night, Baltimore or Pittsburgh, I think Houston beats them.
I have the game on, but I have not been paying attention. I couldn't tell you the scores.
Yeah, well, I could look at this, you know, little device we call a phone real quick. And on the NFC side, I think Seattle's dangerous. I mean, they're the one seed. Of course they're dangerous, but nobody's talking about them. They went 14-3.
How about just under the radar, Sam Darnold?
10-3 Ravens, 3 minutes till half. Yeah, Sam Darnold, I mean, Kevin O'Connell got his career back on track with the Vikings last year. Now he's doing great things in Seattle. And Bears-Packers, that's going to be a drag-it-out game. I think the Bears probably get them in that one.
Yeah, Packers aren't healthy. So
nope. I think the Niners will upset the Eagles on the road.
Eagles are trash.
And then Rams will steamroll Carolina, I think. Even though Carolina beat them the first time they played, but I think the Rams will steamroll them this time.
It's at Carolina, though, right?
Yeah, it is at Carolina. Yeah, they'll be pumped. That fan base hadn't had much cheer for lately. So
yeah, when's the last time there was a playoff game in Carolina?
Been a little while.
Been a long time.
Been a little while. Steven says Chargers versus Patriots, Bills versus Jaguars, Texans get winner of Steelers, Ravens. Yep. Niners will play tough trying to get home field Super Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. So it's gonna be entertaining. I love NFL playoff football time. It's always fun. Always fun. But thanks everybody for tuning in to the first 2026 episode of the Kicking Out podcast. Thanks again to the Main Event Wrestling Network for letting us join your network, join the family. We couldn't be more pumped going forward in 2026. Give the Main Event Wrestling Network a follow on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, as Kyle said there on TikTok, X, Blue Sky. Subscribe to their YouTube channel. We got a link in our description to their a couple of their social media channels as well as their YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Following us on all social media platforms at Kicking Out Pod. Make sure you're subscribed to us on your favorite audio podcast platform. If that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please give us that 5-star rating and review. Really appreciate it. See, Majin, he's followed them already. You won't be disappointed, Majin.
There you go.
Great group of guys. A lot of good shows. And you can follow me on X and Instagram at TannerLee92. You can follow Paul, who is not here, at PaulZartman87. And you can follow Shep at TheShep27, even though Majin said don't follow Shep.
Majin, we were getting along so well. I haven't picked on you at all.
New Year, same Majin. New Year, same Majin. And
bitter Canadian.
If you do want to spend some money in support the podcast and look great doing so, you can do that in two different ways. You can go to kickingoutshop.com where you can get t-shirts, hoodies, zip-ups, good looking coffee mugs like that if you want all three of our mugs on a coffee mug. Hell and And if you're looking just for t-shirts specifically, we have a pro wrestling t-shirt store as well, which all designs except one on there are just exclusive to Pro Wrestling Tees. So many different ways you can support our podcast with money, without money. We appreciate it all the same. And until next week, I'm Tanner Lee. He's Austin Shepherd. Join us next week when we kick out yet another podcast.
This is where I say goodbye and good night.